Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Astrology Radio with your host, Janet Hickox, human design consultant and intuitive astrologer. At Living Astrology, we are tapping into the wisdom of the cosmos to uplift, empower, and enlighten people to their personal genius.
Everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and happy autumn or spring equinox, depending on wherever you are out there in the world. And today's our first full day of the autumn equinox where I live, and of course it looks very autumn-like outside, kind of cloudy and cool and showery, typical Northwest Washington weather, and I love every minute of it. Today's show is primarily going to be about the focus of the final of the four lunar eclipses, and that, of course, is occurring this Sunday, September 27th, at 10:51 p.m. if you're on the East Coast, and 7:51 p.m. Pacific time. That means that everybody in the United States, unless, of course, you have cloud cover, should be able to see most, and in the case of the East Coast, all of the lunar eclipse. So I'm kind of excited. I'm hoping the Northwest skies will clear long enough for me to be able to connect at least visually one time with a lunar eclipse, because I'll tell you what, everyone so far I've not been able to see from here. It should be beautiful, though, because it'll be rising over the mountains, and as it rises over the mountains, it should be coming just into its fullness of the eclipse for us here on the West Coast. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, you know, there has been a lot of focus on this full moon and this lunar eclipse, as in I've heard it called the blood moon, that, you know, there's different kinds of wavelengths of stuff coming at us, and, you know, I get a little upset with all of the hype and the sort of sensationalism that gets thrown out there when something exciting like the lunar eclipse is happening. And at this point in time, you know, the eclipse is a huge event, no doubt. This is something that is different the time of a supermoon. And so what is a supermoon? Well, a supermoon is defined as a moon that is coming within 90% of the closest approach the moon ever makes to the Earth in its rotation around us. This particular moon is the closest that it will be for 2015, and in that, it's going to look about 14% larger to us than it normally does, and about 30% brighter. So it's definitely going to look more intense, and it's certainly going to look more interesting when that eclipse begins, because it's the Earth passing between us and the sun, or between the sun and the moon, and the light of the sun as it bends through our atmosphere casts a bit of a reddish glow, reddish-brownish glow onto the moon. And so we see it as almost a red-colored moon, or what people call a blood moon. And, of course, in old times, this brought about a lot of fear and excitement in and of itself, because it was like, you know, God turned the moon red, or the blood moon, meaning, you know, blood was going to be spilled, or blood had been spilled. However, they looked at it at that time, it was really an eclipse that was met with fear and panic almost. And of course, we still see that today in some of the articles that were going around. I really laughed at a lot of them, because they take what is interesting information and they build it into something huge. And then what gets lost in all of that is the perfect cyclical nature of what it is that we're going through and how that's playing out for us in the bigger picture of our lives. And so that's what I want to really focus on today, is what is going on, because I found out something quite interesting. Of course, I already knew this, but I wanted to share something, let's say, quite interesting with you guys today. Let me finish up a little bit about some of the details of this moon. The moon is approximately 220,000 miles away from us at this full moon lunar eclipse as opposed to the typical 240,000 miles that it is away from us. So again, that's part of what drives it looking so large is because in our eyes, it does. It's closer to us than usual. Now, this is the last time in several years that the supermoon will occur with or in tandem with a lunar eclipse. The last time that this happened was in 1982, and then the next one like this won't occur until 2033. So count your blessings that you are alive at a time when you get to see something unique in the sky. But please don't become overcome with fear or, you know, any kind of the shenanigans that people, the phenomenalization that people make out of this. So let's break it down and let's talk about what is the practical information, that the takeaway message perhaps of this particular full moon, lunar eclipse, i.e. supermoon. And this is actually the fourth of a set of full moon lunar eclipses that have been occurring for us over the last 2 years in the Aries Libra section of your chart. So if any of you know your own charts, then you can kind of tune in visually. For the people that had actually called me ahead of time today for a reading, I actually sent you your chart, so you can even visually tune into this if you'd like. But the Aries Libra section of your chart is where these four moons have been occurring. So the first one began April 15th, 2014, and it was at 25 degrees across Aries and Libra. On October 8th of that same year, 2014, it was at the 15-degree Libra-Aries mark. And then April of this year, it was at the 14-degree point across Aries and Libra. And then this particular one will be at 4 degrees of Aries and Libra. So wherever those two signs are in your chart, it's probably within one house, maybe two, and the houses are just areas of your life that the action is taking place in. And it will be in that same area that perhaps you're really seeing the closing of a cycle. So for instance, let's look back at April 15th of 2014. At 25 degrees Aries Libra, that was at when the first, when the north node and the south node, your destiny marker and your karmic marker in your chart, were first backing inward from the sign Scorpio backwards into Libra. And so we begin to see a lot of focus in that Libra part of our charts. And Libra is always about relationships and building partnerships and how we can work together in the world. And Aries, of course, is where we need to balance ourselves versus the other. So we have the opportunity then with all of these eclipses to really claim our authentic paths and who we really want to be in all of this and who we want to be in the world. And then we also get to balance that with bringing in and attracting the people that will help us along the way. And in some cases, we've had to let go of relationships, perhaps friendships or romantic relationships that weren't working for us. And so we've had this extended period of time where this has been going on, this shuffling, if you will, of energies going on in our own personal charts. So as we work through this energy, then we're coming to the very last one of this one for several years. So as we look across your charts then today, we'll be looking at if we can see a pattern that erupted perhaps a week or two before the April 15th, 2014 eclipse, and then what may be closing out with this particular eclipse. Now, eclipses are really interesting because they don't happen in a vacuum. In fact, there are always these echoes, if you will. I don't know how better to name it. Echoes, just as likely as any other word, to describe how this energy comes back to us at various points during the year after we have the eclipse. So, for example, we have this eclipse on September 27th, and so long about December 25th to 27th or so, you're going to see it maybe an echo of this eclipse, and then 3 months after that, 3 months after that, and this one is going to be about an 18-month kind of cycle. So for about 18 months after this eclipse, we might still be feeling the echoes of the energy that has come to a close for us in this particular time period. So it's going to be really interesting in all of that. Is it scary? No, Not particularly, unless, of course, you're holding on with your teeth and your fingertips and your toes to things that are better to be let go of. If you're doing that, then often this can be a very stressful time. But if you're willing to keep looking at the patterns that have developed over your last couple of years and see where that energy is taking you, then this should be a piece of cake, right? It should be just the closing salvo in this. And so we'll be taking a look when we look at charts about where is that happening for people, because it's going to show a repeating pattern of sorts. And then as I'm looking at the chart of the lunar eclipse, and I think I'll post this on Facebook after the show today so that everybody can take a look at it. And just FYI, Living Astrology has a Facebook page called Living Astrology, strangely enough. And you can find the chart on that Facebook page so that you can take a look at it, because it's really kind of striking. I mean, even if you didn't know anything about astrology, you would notice that there seems to be a sort of seesaw pattern going on here, where there is a lineup of planets between Pisces and Aries on one side and Virgo and Libra on the other. And it makes it so that a lot of energy is focused in a very small area in your own personal chart. And so it seems to us then that the energy is kind of piled up on us in a specific area or two of our own lives. So we'll want to take a look at that. And then kind of holding up some of the energy, maybe as a counterweight or a counterbalance, if you will, are the two planets, Pluto and Saturn. Pluto is in Capricorn, and in this case, it's sort of the empowering piece here. In the chart of the lunar eclipse, it is the planet that's closest to the midheaven, which gives it the most power to change what's going on in our lives. And in a positive way, Pluto, I often refer to Pluto as the planet that takes no prisoners, because it really doesn't allow for you to sit back and not change. It may put slow, insistent pressure on you, but pressure it will until you transform into something that is more authentic to whom you are meant to be. Now, Saturn, in this case, has just moved into Sagittarius, and so it'll be on the day of the eclipse, it'll still be at the 0 degree, almost the first degree of Sagittarius, and we begin to see how bold action, sort of deliberate bold action, can take us to places where we've not been in our lives. And with, you know, having a sort of shuffle of what our old beliefs are and what old patterns that we have adopted that are not serving us. And so we have a lot of energy here pushing us to a path of wholeness. And of course, to me, that rings so true with the last eclipse last week being in Virgo and being sort of the opening salvo and what will be a series of next eclipses across that Virgo-Pisces axis that are taking us to that authentic place of wholeness, of connection, of sort of embodying both the physical manifestation of who we are here on this plane and also the spiritual dimension of who we are also here on this plane. It's almost like there's sometimes this split in us where either we're all in the physical and we completely don't play any sort of tune that's of spiritual nature, or we're constantly in the physical reaching for the spiritual and we ignore the fact that we're physical beings in a body here on planet Earth. And so what we need to do then is see ourselves bring this energy together and creating that pathway to wholeness for ourselves. So it's really interesting times we live in, and I really am excited about this as opposed to any kind of fear and, you know, phenomenal kind of crud that people are throwing around out there. It's really about what makes me whole. And guess what? That's probably going to be different than what makes you whole and what makes other people whole. And it's learning to be your authentic and your authentic self and to live your truth. All right. So I'm going to step off my soapbox for a minute. And before I get to readings today, I want to remind everybody that if you are awake at the early part of the mornings, look to the east. You will see most beautiful Venus and Jupiter both rising with the sun, a little ahead of the sun. So you can actually see them. They're not lost completely in the glare of the sun. But please go out and look at the sky, because the two of them together are really beautiful. And I don't know, there's just something breathtaking about knowing what planets you're looking at and being able to identify, you know, the physical placement they are. Hey, it's like the path to wholeness, right? You can see their physical location and connect with them visually, which is a very physical sense. And then you can also connect with the spiritual energy that is Venus and Jupiter. So make sure you at least one morning get up bleary-eyed maybe and go look outside to the east just before dawn, and you can see the Jupiter and Venus in the eastern sky. All right, then. So I am going to take my first caller today. I see Debbie, and Debbie has a copy of her chart already, so I'm going to start with her. Hello, Debbie. How are you?
Good. Hi, Janet.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited.
Good. Good. So I sent you your copy of your chart, so you're taking a look at that bright orange line that is showing you where the eclipse is falling in your chart for this particular eclipse. And for you, this whole pattern has been taking place across the 10th and the 4th house, which I find really interesting. Debbie, for those of you who are out there listening, is a friend of mine, and so I'm very familiar with her chart. And even I didn't really notice how much emphasis there was on this part of your life until just now, but it makes perfect sense to me. And this is across your 10th and 4th house. 10th is the house of your authority, right? Who you are, your reputation, what you do in the world, how the world sees you. And then the 4th house is about home and family, and in a very real sense, even rules real estate, which, of course, is one of your bigger challenges right now, right?
Right.
And it's, you know, I want you to go back to April 15th of 2014, and maybe not that exact date if you can't do it, but what was going on in your life then that set the stage for what's going on in your life now? Is there a quick connection that you can make in looking at those dates?
Probably started looking for a house at that time. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility.
Yeah, April 15th of 2014.
Yeah, probably. I was looking at houses.
Interesting. And you have finally found a house, but now we're having trouble getting into this house. To no fault of your own, kind of the universe monkeying around with stuff for you there. But it's interesting that it's distinctly possible that this whole chapter is coming to a close with this lunar eclipse for you. And in that is really good news. Especially because the lunar eclipse, the moon part of the lunar eclipse, is going to be sitting on your part of fortune. And if you're looking at your chart, Debbie, it's that circle with the little cross hatch in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
The part of fortune is a part where we consider the maximal joy that you're going to experience in lifetime comes through this house. And that's with family and the idea of having roots or a foundation. You know, that whole idea of a home, right?
That's funny, because I just got some good news right before the show came on.
And what's that?
That the insurance company is going to start, and they're actually thinking about that they have to change out the countertops in order to fix the counters. So they told me that instead of them putting the same counter back in, the same one, they knew they wanted totally different, that I should go and pick out the color and let them know about that, and they give me all the measurements and all that stuff, and I could probably have that put in while they're doing this stuff. So that's a great thing right there already.
Oh, my goodness. See, you've already got a gift from this eclipse.
Uh-huh.
It's not, this is, you know, for doing your due diligence and holding in there with everything, you're starting to see the reward payoff. Now, what I find really striking in your chart is that, and everybody has this going on, so those of you who are listening, waiting maybe for your turn for a reading, you also have the planet Uranus in Aries at this time. Now, it's not necessarily in close proximity of the eclipse. It's sitting, I think, at 19 degrees Aries, and the eclipse will be at almost 5 degrees of Aries. So, you know, bigger difference than what we usually would use as a conjunction, let's say. But because it's there, it also lends a sort of surprise piece to everything. And, you know, to me, I mean, I just talked to you earlier today and there, this hadn't happened yet, right? So here's this little surprise piece of information that comes to you that is very helpful in getting you hopefully moved into your house and finally bringing a close to this chapter of you waiting to find the right place. So it's really interesting to find that happening in your chart. Now, and that, of course, in everybody's chart. Now, opposite of this eclipse for everybody is the planet Jupiter in Virgo, close enough that I also want to deal with that because the last eclipse was very near to Jupiter and sort of sent us on a growth and expansion toward that wholeness, right, to really maybe it became very obvious to us where the holes were in our life or in this particular area of our life, for example, and started us looking toward other ways that we could bring this into a balance of sorts. And for you, of course, that was also happening very near the fourth house. So interesting. It's just interesting all the way around how this energy for you, Debbie, is about building toward a more safer, secure foundation, laying that foundation for you. And, yeah, you've been through trials and you've been through tribulations with this, just like everybody, you know, has been through trials and tribulations as it relates to these, you know, eclipses and Mercury retrogrades and Venus retrogrades and God knows what else has been affecting us over the last 2 years. But it's finally coming to a close. Right? This is a very powerful moon with the power to really open up a new doorway, a new gateway or a portal to being somewhat different than things have been. So I think that all looks really good for you. Now, also in the mix with this eclipse is the Black Moon Lilith, who will be sitting at about, looks like 3 degrees of Aries, and or Libra, excuse me, and also the North Node, which will just within a couple of degrees of the Black Moon Lilith. So we have an idea that destiny is in play here with us, as well as removing our shadow. So I wanted to talk to you about this, Debbie, in terms of this is in your 10th house of career or profession or what you do in the world. And isn't it interesting? I think you shared with me that you accidentally one day bought an angel certification course. Was that you bought it?
Right? Master communication course, And I knew that there was a reason afterwards I went, because it was really expensive. And I went, what the hell did I just do? But then I looked and I said, you know, I'm letting it go. I was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
I just let it go. And I knew
it's perfect because I think it sets the stage for you for an opening in becoming more authentic in what you do in the world. And it's almost like a new career opportunity, even though it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, work into a career, but it certainly is something that you can gain traction on in the world as time goes on. So lucky for you, you listened to your intuition. You didn't, you know, go back and say, wait a minute, I didn't mean to buy that and get your money back and cancel it or anything like that. Because
They say afterwards you'll be very changed. You'll look, your life will be different in a lot of ways because you'll see things differently. So that's good.
I love it. Yeah.
Me too.
Absolutely perfect. All right, Debbie. So you've got this, you know, sort of two-pronged thing opening up for you, one being the house and finally finding a place to get settled in and happy and grounded in, and at the other end, something happening along the career lines or in a way that you express yourself out in the world. So carry on.
Awesome. Great. Then that means you can come visit me in the spring.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great show. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie. Love you, too. Take care. All right. So I love good news like that when it shows up in someone's chart. And I think everybody today is going to find out that there's something interesting like that happening in their charts. Let's see. Who do I have next? I'm looking for Jennifer. Jennifer, if you're listening to the show out there, I have your chart ready for you. Why don't you go ahead and call in if you're out there? And in the meantime, let's see who I want to talk to next. Deucer is telling me that next is Sue. And Sue, Did I just lose you? Sue, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Good. I just wanted you to look at my chart and see what you see.
All right, Sue. And have I done a reading for you before?
Yeah. It just so happens that I'm looking for a new job.
Wow. What is your last name so I can find your chart here? Or maybe
I'm
I just have you under Sue. What's your last name?
Suzanne.
And your last name?
Young.
Oh, okay, so that wouldn't be under there. Wow, I know. I could have sworn I've done a reading for you before. Maybe I haven't. Okay, so let me quickly add a new person in here for you. And Sue. So how is everything going in your life?
I want change.
You want change or it is changed?
I want change. Yeah.
Yeah? And let's see, so I have your birthday, 8/5/60, is that right?
60, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
October 5th.
Okay. And, October 5th, not August 5th, okay. And tell me, if you look back at what was going on in April of 2014, do you see some echoes of the patterns that started then for you that are still either in needing to be closed out, or tell me a little bit about what you've noticed about your life over the last couple of years?
October 14th one? Is there another one?
It was April 15th and then October 8th and then April 4th of this year and then September 28th of this year.
I don't remember anything of April.
You don't remember April or you do?
I don't remember anything big happening in April.
Well, tell me about what's the major theme that's been going on in your life over the last couple of years?
Love life, work, and my son.
Mm-hmm. And are there challenges in that or?
All three.
In all three? So you feel like you've been sort of being hit multiple times over the same things. Let's take a look here. So you know, due to have a birthday here in the next couple of weeks, so, you know, that's going to be playing into this as well. The sun in your chart is at 12 degrees of Libra, and the eclipse is going to be across 4 degrees of Libra and Aries. So very close. And so I think this is an impactful year for you. And as I look at the house this is playing out in, and the last, you know, few have played out between your 12th house of what remains hidden in your subconscious mind versus your first house of the self where things are more noticeable, it seems like you're working internal changes as well as some external life changes. And a lot of that would come down to what are your beliefs, right? What are your patterns? What sort of ruts have you gotten yourself stuck into over the course of this lifetime? The challenge then is how do I elevate myself so I can release, you know, any of those kinds of challenges or patterns or beliefs or ways that I have limited myself and then move forward sort of fearlessly and with courage to a point where I can claim wholeness in my life. Now, if you're talking a specific challenge right now, you're looking for a job. Was that what you said you were doing?
Well, I applied for one. I'm pretty sure I got it. I have to quit this other one, even if I quit right away. But I'm looking for something in between. Like it's a morning and an afternoon thing, but I'm looking for something in between. I think I'm going to get it. Just make more. Well, I'll make more money than I'm making now.
Mm-hmm. And so I would think. Now, did you apply for this job just recently, or was it over a few weeks ago?
No, I got the job. I applied recently.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, but it, you know, you have to do paperwork and everything. Go for training and I did all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it takes some time to get you in here and so forth. So a couple of interesting things happening. One, Venus was transiting for a long term through Leo because it went retrograde. And so it's still in Leo for the next couple of weeks. And while it was in the early parts of Leo, and indeed from the retrograde time until it moved back to forward motion, it was in your 10th house of career. So it feels to me like there was possibly a rearrangement of what you term as value to you. Like, how did you value yourself, and as it relates to the work world, and you know, claiming in a way your good here. You know, claiming that you can earn more money, that there's something better that you would maybe that you would rather be doing, or something that was more impactful for you. And now what's happened is other planets like Mars and Jupiter have moved off into your 11th house, which is sitting in Virgo. In fact, Venus itself actually moved into your 11th house by the day after this eclipse, so on the day the 28th, and begin a process of you re-envisioning what it is that you really want to do. Jupiter's about to hit your destiny, and that hasn't happened to you for 12 years. So I think this feels a little bit like it's an opening to something new, but that maybe there are still some other changes that will come along for you in the next few months to a year from now. So I don't know how you feel about that, but it doesn't feel like it's long-term for you in this particular place. Now, it can be long-term for you, but long-term in a different position, perhaps. Maybe there's movement that you're going to make within the company that you're at that gives you either more money, perhaps, or a feeling that you're being more valued where you are. So that's something to look forward to. And the only thing that would stop you in this, the only thing, is going to be your level of fear and belief that will block you. Because in the 12th house, which is that house of fear, limitation.
Maybe I have office work or something I could do later on. I don't know. I'm not scared of it. I need more money.
Yeah, but it's not about fear that, you know, like scared fear. It's like this deeper down pattern, perhaps, that has been prevalent in your life. And learning to let that go so that you can be whoever it is that you want to be and earning whatever it is that you want to be earning out there. You know, Saturn has been in your second house of money for the last year and a half, and it's going to be in this area of your chart yet for another 6 to 8 months. And so you really are learning about how to attract resources to you, the resources that match your value in the work that you do. And like I said, the only thing that could...
I thought Saturn was going to Sagittarius. Why is it in my second house still?
Because your second house is split between Scorpio and Sagittarius.
Oh, for years.
Right. Yeah, so there you get years worth of being hit as opposed to just a week or a day, because Saturn takes a longer time to go through a sign. So it didn't really start affecting you when Saturn first moved into Scorpio. It didn't start affecting you until about a year into that transit. And then you still have about 6 to 8 months in Sagittarius still affecting your second house. So ultimately, underlying all of this is you building up key self-worth and self-esteem and confidence to go out there in the world and claim what it is that you want, to claim what you deserve based on the work that you're doing. Does all that make sense to you?
Yes.
Good. And anything else that you're concerned about right now?
A couple with love life. I'm going on a date that's opening up.
Can you say that again? Because you got muffled out there. You're going out on dates and what?
I'm being optimistic. I'm going on dates.
Uh-huh. Good. And how's that working out?
Good. I have to go on them. I mean, I'm on a couple, but I'm going on more to see.
You know, what's really interesting in your chart about the relationship aspect is that there's two things operating. One, Uranus is moving through the house that is relationship-oriented. And as it's a player sort of in this eclipse time, the possibility is that someone, when you least expect it, shows up in your life. and brings to you some joy or some freedom to express your authentic self within the relationship. Like you get to be who you really want to be within a relationship instead of having to play a role perhaps, or, you know, be somebody that you're not in order to be accepted in a relationship. The other key factor that's going on is that your fifth house, which is the house of love and romance, has the planet Neptune coming through there, and the last couple of degrees of that fifth house have Chiron in it. So it feels to me like there's a healing going on for you in terms of love and romance and how you are accepted within relationships. And Neptune brings an element of spirituality and higher or unconditional love to the picture. So I'd say that the possibility of romance showing up here is very high, and is also something that can happen when you least expect it. When you're not looking or you're not trying, somebody can show up in your face. So be expecting the unexpected.
When?
Now.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
and what
for now and for a long time yet.
Do you see anything change with home life, like my son coming back, or anything with family life?
The fourth house is not yet, but will be affected by Pluto in the next couple of years, but not right now. What's in there right now is the planet Ceres, and she's really about, she's sort of a mother goddess, and she is sort of like Demeter in the, you know, Greek myths, and she brings plenty and abundance and so forth. If there have been issues there, I would guess that they're probably going to smooth out, but it may take some more time. It may take some more time before that changes. Are you waiting for somebody to, is there some problem going on in the family right now?
Well, I'd like my son to move back in with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hope that that happens sooner than later. It's a distinct possibility. I think it's going to be more powerful. You know. Now that I look at this, I'm thinking the outcome of these next couple of weeks may really be of an empowering nature as it comes around for families, for your family, you know, for what you're trying to create in your home. So is there an issue here where you're trying to create a more attractive place for him to be, or a more is this a better home for him than where he's living right now? What's going on there? Can you give me a little more specifics?
Well, not that I live in a bad home. I just don't have as much money as his dad. He's living with his dad, not because I wanted to. We just fought courts and all that. I'd like to get a little bigger place, but I can't get him to live with me.
Mm-hmm. So is it his choice right now not to be with you?
Not really. He's only 14.
Okay. Yeah, well, what I would say with your whole chart, the way the whole of the chart looks, is to get clear on what it is, how you want this to end. How do you want this relationship with your son to play out? Because really, the vast number of transits for you are happening in your 12th house, which means there are hidden things going on here, hidden ways in which you may be sabotaging yourself instead of being your own best friend. So, look in the mirror very deeply here and see what it is that you're creating and why you're creating it. And then,
well, not
from there,
really. I'm just trying to work, spend time with them when I see and see friends, so I'm not really doing anything wrong. You see what I'm saying? I'm not at all.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately for me, I can't hear you very well. You sound very muffled, so I'm missing half of what you're saying. Maybe what you could do is email me a quick sort of synopsis of what this is all about so that I don't have to depend on phone lines to try to clear up what I'm not hearing from you. And then I could speak to what your concern is a little better. Would you do that for me? Sue? Hello? Hello? Did I get lost?
Sue dropped off.
Oh,
she had
it's her turn to drop.
Yeah, she... lost her connection.
Okay.
So we should move on to Jennifer then.
Jennifer. I see Jennifer. Okay, I'll pull her in. Hello, Jennifer.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks so much for taking my call. I've never called into your show before, so I'm kind of excited.
You know what's funny is I thought I knew who you were. And so I was looking through all of my astrology programs to find your chart, and I couldn't find it. And I was like, what happened to her chart? And I guess it was because this is the first time that I've ever talked to you.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so thanks. Let me,
it's going to be fun.
I had emailed you your copy of your chart. Did you get that?
I did, and I actually had to bring my bird to the emergency vet because he smashed his leg just now. So I'm actually sitting outside in the parking lot. So if I look at my chart on my phone, I have to put you on speakerphone, and I'm not sure if that will affect the quality of our call or not. So,
okay.
But I did look at it. I did look at it. Okay.
So the eclipse for you is happening across, same as the previous caller, across your 12th and your 6th house. And so, again, we have a situation where we're looking at the relative health of what's going on in your inner conversation, your inner mind, your subconscious,
mm-hmm.
let's call it. And how is that helping you or hindering you, such as the case can be? Now, let me talk about this for a second for everybody sort of listening, because the 12th house is a sort of interesting place in astrology. We call it the house of the hidden, because there is so much here that we don't see, and we have to bring a lot of consciousness up to the surface when we deal with the 12th house, and you have to be willing to look there, because what we can find in the 12th house are all of these things that are holding you back from being everything that you have as a potential to be here in this existence. It's almost like, you know, by coming into the world, and, you know, growing up without in different school systems and with your family and friends and work and your government that you're growing up in, your culture, that somehow you have conditioning overlaying the authentic, true you. So this is your opportunity to peel back those layers and get to what's really true about you and get to be very clear about what direction you go next, right? This is you clearing out that unconscious so that you can move forward here very powerfully in the next few weeks, as then the sun crosses your ascendant and moves into the first house, which affords you a whole new viewpoint, right? A whole new idea of who you are in the world. But you got to be willing to look. That's the other key. You have to be willing to look under the hood. And I guarantee you, a lot of times people, you know, aren't paying attention to what those patterns are. And so they keep repeating things, you know, like a record that gets caught in a groove or something, you know, where it's like we're beating our head against the wall, or we have that definition of insanity that is, you know, doing the same thing but expecting a new result, and it never happens. So you have to look at life in a new and exciting way and be willing to clear out anything in the clutter, right, in the background that isn't working for you. Now, you also have some really exciting news, and that's Jupiter has been transiting through your 11th house, which is the house of vision, your dream, right? You know, the thinking big house, and then aligning yourself with people that think like you do, right? Aligning yourself with the like-minded people out there, the people that can really help you move to where you want to be in your life. And you're just one of those lucky people born in the mid-60s with that Pluto-Uranus conjunction. So you came into the world with this energy of rebellion and revolution. It's encoded in you. You know, and we spent the last 2 years, or the year previous to this one and the year before that, in what we called the cardinal crosses. Where,
not
the cardinal
done.
Crosses. Yeah, thank God. But also the Pluto-Uranus square. Yeah, and that was a long-term thing that's really affecting those people born in 65, 66, 67, and even a little bit the year, you know, before that and the year after that. Because you came encoded with all of this energy, and then suddenly you're being challenged to put it out there in the world.
Yeah. I have a question, if you don't mind me asking, about that 12th house. I know my Pluto and Uranus are on the cusp, so it's kind of read as if they are in the 12th house. And with the eclipse there, I wanted to ask you, I'm a psychic medium myself, and I've noticed that there's been like kind of a ramping up of the messages that I've been getting. Like I had a client today, and the minute I walked into her house, they started telling me, tell her not to have the laser surgery. And I was like, are you having laser surgery? And she said, yeah, I'm supposed to have it today. And I said, well, I'm being told to tell you not to have it. Like really specific messages like that. And I'm wondering if this eclipse, because eclipses are supposed to have an effect on us for so long, what you can tell me about you know, how long this will be going on and how that would affect me with those planets there and you know, considering what I do.
Well, I think you're actually getting a taste of what could authentically be yours forever. You know, that
wow.
being that tuned in and that turned on. Because it would seem then that is kind of the role that you set out for yourself. Your natal Black Moon Lilith, by the way, is in Pisces. And the Pisces Black Moon Lilith shadow is the shadow of not being connected to spirit or feeling like you're not connected. So here you're getting this really distinct feeling that you are connected. You are healing that shadow. And wouldn't you know it, but the Black Moon by transit is also involved in this eclipse. So
wow.
really,
huh.
this is for you a sort of then harbinger of things to come.
Yeah.
Of you being
cool.
much more in tune. Because think about
yeah.
what the impact was on that for you today, right? To be able to say that to somebody, you know, you had that initial fear that, you know, maybe if I say this out loud, she's going to look at me and go, no, I'm not having laser surgery. And now you're going to look like
an idiot. Oh, I always
have
that. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to give people crazy messages that make no sense. And especially because I'm kind of new at this. I've only been doing it for about, you know, 3 years for other people, and I'm still, like, hesitant to give messages that specific, because if I'm off, then I end up looking silly, or, you know, that's what I feel like. So,
yeah, but you're not off. You're not off at all. Your destiny's in the eighth house, so I think when it's life and death issues or when it's that important, you're always going to be on, because that's
mm-hmm.
what your destiny is calling you to do for that. If it's transformational in nature for the person you're talking to, you're already
mm-hmm.
there with that information. So
huh.
I wouldn't worry about that. Your galactic center sits in the third house. You're always receiving messages of communication from the galactic center. It's one of those other little pieces we look at times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the real juice for you then is not allowing fear to enter into this picture, right? Don't you
uh-huh.
know, remember all these, you know, keep validating all these key times when you are right on. But even more important then is that the times that there may be something that's not quite right, don't beat yourself up over it.
Yeah.
Because we can all
yeah,
have days
not.
Where things just aren't going right for us, right? Or where,
yeah.
you know, or like what happens sometimes when I'm doing readings for people is they're totally not aware of what's going on under the surface. Maybe they haven't looked that deep ever. And so, you know, me saying that to them means nothing because they have no clue yet how to look deeper. And you're already
yeah,
aware.
Yeah, I've seen that. And
mm-hmm.
can I ask you about my, I know, like, every woman who gets a chart reading or a psychic reading wants to know about their love life. I have to say, as cliche as it is, like, I'm dying to know about my love life. Because even when you're a psychic, you can't see the forest for the trees when it comes to your own issues. So I'm just as clueless as the next person.
Oh,
it's been
cool.
kind of a long time since I found the right person. And I'm kind of wondering, like, when is that crap going to end already? I'm kind of ready.
Well, you know, your natal Venus is in Cancer, so a part of you is, and it's with Mars, so a part of you really is wanting a kind of relationship where it's very nurturing and loving and emotionally connected, but there's this
mm-hmm.
other part of you, the seventh house connection, the part that would be about the marriage house or the long-term committed relationship area of the chart, with Uranus moving through there in Aries, where it's striking a balance between independence and dependence. And so a relationship for you also has to feel fresh and that you're, you know, a part of you wants to be needed and nurture in the relationship, but another part of you really wants that person to be healed and whole themselves. And so it's waiting for that right person to show up that becomes the challenge. Now, I bet somebody starts showing up here for you in the next 6 months. I don't know if they'll be that long-term person, but somebody's coming because a lot of energy moving through relationship houses. How can you, you know, test out your new relationship chops if you don't have someone to test them out with? So I would say that you are looking at that coming soon. It would also be as a way for you to further heal your Black Moon Lilith shadow in Pisces, because Neptune is coming very close to your Black Moon as well. And that means you are looking at more of a spiritual connection with someone. So calling in the person, calling in the right person, as opposed to instead of you going out and looking for the person, I don't think that's going to work. I think it's going to be one of those situations where it happens when you least expect it. But what I would be doing now is setting the stage. Who am I looking for? These are the qualities, right? This is my bucket list, if you will, of who I want
in a
relationship.
Oh, honey, like I have it all. Like I have 20 items on my list. You know, I got very specific. Because I feel like if unless you make a list of exactly what you want, you could end up with anything. You know, it's not going to be what you want. It might be just something. You know, he's fine for now, but not like Mr. Fine. I want Mr. Fine.
Yeah. But you are going to have a bit of a time where the emphasis after the sun, of course, crosses the first, the ascendant, and then where you know the focus is going to be on you. And Mercury is retrograding in this part of your chart. It's at about looks like 13, 14 degrees, and your ascendant's at 12 degrees of Libra. So you're going to have a little bit of time here where the focus is on you. So I'm looking at maybe Christmas time, near Christmas time.
Oh, yeah. Go Santa.
Go Santa.
I hope he brings me something good.
Looking
now, if you have Mercury... Yeah, if you have Mercury retrograde natally, how does, you know, does it, are we affected less by the Mercury retrograde periods? Because I kind of feel like they don't faze me too much like they do other people. I don't have like a lot of hoo-ha going on. So I don't know if that's my imagination or if that's like a real thing, but I don't know.
It is a real thing. It is a real thing. No hoo-ha going on. Because what happens is I also have natal Mercury in retrograde motion. So I'll tell you what happens to me. Those few weeks before the retrograde are the pits, right? I am screwing up left and right. My computer crashes. I say things I don't mean, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Mercury retrograde actually occurs, and I'm perfectly fine. I'm cruising. I'm right on task.
Wow.
I seem to be doing fine. And then that shadow period after Mercury goes back to direct is, again, a sort of wishy-washy time for me. So it seems like for me, I really become very much more focused and able to speak my truth when Mercury is in retrograde. So I don't have so much of a trouble during the retrograde. It's before and after it. And then the rest of the year is sort of hit and miss depending on, you know, what other transits are going on. But it is true that people with Mercury retrograde in their chart do a little bit better with the retrograde period than others who do not. We're already used to that internal dialogue going on, you know. So
it is kind of an internal dialogue, I think. We think and communicate differently than other people, for better or for worse. It's, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I definitely feel like sometimes it's hard to, like, get my message across, you know, normally, but...
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I even talk backwards. When it's not Mercury retrograde, I talk backwards. I can say a whole sentence and it comes out totally wrong, sounded perfect to me, but someone else will say, oh, don't you mean da-da-da? And I'm like, oh, yeah, did I say that wrong? It can happen. It can happen anytime, but it just seems like it's worse for us when we are actually in the period before and after the retrograde as opposed to during the retrograde. So,
that makes sense for me too. I'll give you an example. I had a date on the day of the eclipse, which was a bad time to have a first date, and everything was great. we made a second date to go surfing the next morning, and poof, I got blown off. And I was just like, what happened? You know, I think, yeah, and it was something I said, too. I got a little mad when that happened, and, you know, he was just late by 2 hours, but I kind of was like, I just was like, I'm done with you. Nope, next. And then, you know, my friends were like, oh, that was a mistake. You should take him back, get him back. And I was like, nope, he screwed up. And I'm wondering, like, maybe that was Mercury retrograde, you know, like right before it, maybe me say something kind of rash. Yeah, lucky us.
Oh, well. But, you know, maybe after the retrograde, you can rethink this. You can revisit this issue, right? After the retrograde, and after October 24th, let me give you that date. So,
okay.
You know, maybe you can revisit that with him and maybe clearer minds will prevail.
Yeah.
All right, Jennifer. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so glad that you called in and I was able to get your chart for you.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your blog, your show. It's great.
Thank you so much. And have a great eclipse. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye for now. Okay, so we have about 4 minutes left, and I see Tom here from last week who didn't get a reading and was waiting online for me. So, Tom, are you live on the line with me?
Yes, I am. How are you? Good evening.
I'm doing well, thank you. How's everything in your life? What's up with you?
Oh, not too good. Everything's gone crazy lately. It's just out of control. I mean, it could be a lot worse, but everything seems a little wonky. Nothing seems to be working right for me.
Can you give me, like, is this in your relationships or all across the board?
All across the board.
Mm-hmm. And is this Tom Brainer?
Yes.
I've got to make sure I have the right Tom's chart up. So, Thomas, I'm looking at your chart. The eclipse for you, of course, has been, the whole pattern has been in Libra and Aries, so it's been focusing on relationships. But where it is in your chart is kind of interesting because it's been playing across the 6th house and the 12th house. Now, I've already talked to two people today where this was the exact pattern for them over the last couple of years. Now, for you, the most intense part is at the 6th house end of things, where this is about you being fragmented in some ways and not being whole in how you're approaching your life. You're not in balance. And that's coming because these planets and eclipses have been sitting on top of your destiny. And, you know, there's two of them in the last 2 years that were sitting right on your destiny. And then this one is still within striking distance of it. So you're really being asked to bring yourself and your various pieces together. What is going to make you whole? And that means you're going to have to look deeper in your mind. You're going to have to look in your heart. And you're going to have to look in your emotional self. And you're going to have to look at your spiritual path and see what parts are not coming together. And once you really get a feel for how you can bring this together or what's out of balance after this eclipse, then you can start working to bring them back into a form of balance or at least harmony. And that may mean, you know, having to work through issues in your relationships. That may mean that you're going to have to look at what's going on in the home. And it may also be that you have to look at what's going on deep within you, right? Because you're Uranus and part of the eclipse is in that 12th house. And that 12th house is where things are hidden, where you have not been conscious, where, you know, it's almost life living you instead of you living life. Does any of that make sense to you?
It makes a big sense to me. It's like I need a spiritual vacation. You know, everything is just, I am out of balance. I can feel it inside. I have that empty feeling that only I can admit and understand. I can't explain it to anybody, but it's empty.
Yeah. So what do you want to fill up the empty with? Because I'll tell you what happens often when we have that empty space is we fill it with other things that aren't good for us. We fill it with food or we fill it with, you know, drinking, or we fill it with, you know, escapisms like watching TV or, you know, focusing on things that aren't really good for us. So
I
want
to do something for myself. I want to do something for myself, something that'll make me feel better as a whole, something long-term.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I would say that you could do for yourself right now that may help you is look at how it is that you can bring more joy into your life. What would make you feel more fulfilled? And that comes often through creativity, through our connection with children, through our connection with the actual earth, you know, getting out there and working in the soil or planting trees or just walking through the forest. You know, that start there. How can I create some joy for myself? Okay? The next thing I want you to do is I want you to look at how can I purify my environment, right? What is in my life that is not in my best interest?